I want to speak to you tonight. The title of my message is Living Letters. What are you writing? Living Letters. What are you writing? Folks, how many here tonight think that you're special? 3, 4, 5? Well, whether you think it or not, you are. Okay? You're not just special to hear it, to us here at Church of Pentecost, but you're special to God. Amen? You see, God is doing something in you that you might not be aware of. You see, He's writing letters to every one of your friends. He's writing letters to every one of your acquaintances. And as you are around them every day, they are reading a letter. The reason that you and I are here today, here tonight, is because God sent you a letter. Quickly, anybody can think of some of the reason why you're here? Somebody who witnessed to you, who gave a Bible study to you. Anybody? Nobody? Nate? Nate pointed at his mother. Forget his dad, he just pointed at mom. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Anybody else? Yes. Awesome. Yes. My mom and dad. All right. Amen. Brother? Right. When you see, even if sometimes if you just happen to come into this, walking by, if you're on a presence or whatever it is, a lot of times, even after you receive the Holy Ghost, you're baptized, you say, just somebody befriending you, living that life, encouraging you, is why you're still here today. Amen? So God sent you a letter, somebody that you were able to read and watch and look at and say, I want what they have. I like what I see. Amen? So our very own living letter, and something in that letter spoke to your heart. So when that took place, your very own living letter began to be written. When you were saved, your letter began to be written. You'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 2 through 3. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Folks, let me tell you something today. God is still in the letter writing business. Amen? He, our God, is a living God. He is still working in the hearts and the lives of individuals and continues to write His letters to the world. Now, we read this scripture, it said it is the Spirit that is in you. That's what makes the difference. You must have the Spirit in you. You see, God has always desired to use His people. Okay? But He had a new covenant. If you'll read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. Hebrews 8:8 says, for finding fault with them, He saith, behold, the days come, and say saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. You see where God wants his laws, where God wants, you know, his word to come through us. In our minds and in our hearts. Hebrews 10, 16 through 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God's laws, folks, are not to be just in stone tablets or just in the Bible, the book. Okay, God wants to put his laws in our hearts, in our minds. Amen. You see, an epistle is just a letter or something one has written for the good of another. The visible creation is a great letter spread out before the eyes of men, in which we may read the wisdom and the power of God. Providence is another letter written by the finger of God. But not everyone, folks, can read it correctly. It is very frequently read through the glass darkly. The church is the epistle of Christ by the Spirit of God and sent to the world as an expression of his love. And it is his grace and power of the manifold wisdom of God. Every Christian is a paragraph of this great letter, written not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Folks, we are his workmanship. Amen? Now, a letter is written on prepared material. It's kind of hard, you know, to find something. You know, usually if there was a piece of paper laying there and a piece of Bounty towel and a board, what would you pick? Usually the piece of paper. We look for something that is prepared to write on. Amen? So a letter is written on a prepared piece of material. Notice that this letter is not written on the tables of the stony heart. It is written, but on the fleshly tables of the new heart. Amen? Ezekiel 36, verse 26 through 27, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. They don't have that up there, but the TEV. I will give you a new heart. And a new mind. I will take away your stubborn heart and stone of stone and give you an obedient heart. I will put my spirit in you and will see to it that you follow my laws and keep all of my commandments I have given you. You see where God wants his word. He wants it to be in us. He wants us to live it. Amen. He wants us, our life, to make a difference in other people around us. If God wants us to be read, that means he wants us to make a difference in other people's lives. Come on. What are you writing? What are people that know you? What are they seeing? Are you going to make a difference in their life? Do they even know you're a Christian? You see, this letter is not written on rotten rags of our own righteousness, but on the white linen of his own righteousness, which is unto all that believe. Jeremiah 31:33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, folks, when you read a letter, you know, there's different writers, you know, throughout time. And a lot of times when you read something from, you know, you might not even read who it's from, but if you've read a certain person's letters or things in the books in the past, you know, that sounds like so-and-so. Okay, why? Because people write a certain way. A letter bears the expression of the writer. Every true believer is, folks, an expression of the character and the mind of Jesus Christ. Amen? The epistle of Christ. The words which thou hast given me, I have given them, Jesus declared. Thou shalt speak my words faithfully in Ezekiel chapter 2. We have the mind of Christ, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Jeremiah 26 verse 2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. You see, it is paramount, folks. It is very important that we understand who we represent. Amen? We need to understand who we're representing. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And as his epistle, we are to be an expression of his character and his mind. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, your attitude should be the same as the attitude as Jesus Christ. Amen? Believers should adopt the same attitude, the same frame of mind that was found in Jesus Christ. Each believer, as a part of the whole, is to have Jesus' attitude of service so that the entire church will be characterized as such. You see, many people feel that they can't control their moods and their attitudes. But Paul doesn't accept that as the fact that the Spirit-filled Christians are slaves to their attitudes. Christ had this attitude. He says, so we must have this attitude. Romans 8, verse 5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. One of the great myths of our popular psychology that has drifted into the church today, what it does, it deals with impulsive behavior based on people's emotions. And there is an attempt to get in touch with our feelings. This myth advocates that we must do what our feelings indicate. Christians, folks, we are able to be in touch with their feelings, but still do what Jesus Christ requires. Amen? It's not about our feelings. It's about what is right for God. Amen? Your emotions will steer you the wrong way. The Bible says our heart is wicked. Believers, you got to obey God. Because it's what he done for us. Amen? He bought us. We don't belong to ourselves. He paid a price for us. Amen? And so therefore, we must obey what the Lord has. And let me tell you something. You're going to stand there on a day of judgment and say, well, I just didn't feel that. And he's going to say, well, I'm sorry. Right? He is the author and the finisher. He has drafted his letter to the world upon our fleshly hearts with his Holy Spirit. A letter bears the signature of the writer also. See, it's important to know and to understand that Jesus' name is put upon his people. That's why we are baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen? And as a result, His name is to be signed upon all that we do and added to everything that we ask. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Paul stated, yet not I, but Christ. Amen? When we are sick, when we seek healing by praying in His name, don't we? When we take a trip, we pray for safety in His name. And in everything we desire through prayer, folks, we always ask for it in what? In the name of Jesus. I've often said this, so why don't people want to be baptized in that name? You see, it's certainly scriptural, isn't it? In Acts 2:38. Being baptized unto Jesus Christ through baptism in His name. We are applying the signature to the letter or to the epistle, which is our new life. But folks, also, you got to be able to read the letter. It's got to be legible. Amen? What is the use of a letter if it can't be understood? You see, some professing Christians are about as difficult to make out as the autograph of some writers. The letters are so badly formed that it is next to impossible to get the right message out of them. Peter and John, as epistles, they were large and they were legible. Acts 4, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I ask you today, do people know you're a Christian? The Bible tells us to let our light shine, doesn't it? And also, folks, a letter should be free of blots, stains. If there is a big blot on the letter that you send, the blot will likely be the first thing that is noticed. Right? You open up that letter out of the envelope, you look, it's like, oh, somebody spilled something on that. Then you try to read the letter. It's the first thing you notice. So, faults are easily seen. If an epistle of Christ, and if we're an epistle of Christ and we are blotted, folks, it is certain that the blots are not the writer's doing. His work is perfect. Amen? If there are blots there, it is because of us. We made those blots. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, 9-10 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Also, a letter is known by its handwriting. There's no mistaking the writing on the wall when you read in Daniel 5. Does not the world look at the character of every Christian and still keep asking whose image, whose description? You see, if we have been made partakers of His divine nature, the Lord, then we are His writings. And writing the writer knows them that are His. And although the world, they should know us also. They should know that we belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? According to Matthew 7 and Matthew 13, there is another handwriting that He will not own. And Matthew 7, 23 says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 13, 40 through 42, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Our lives, folks, our lives should be like good sermons. Our lives should be conveying a message that leaves a lasting impression, one that motivates others to want to live for God. When we have finished our course, what are folks going to say about you? Amen? What are the comments going to be about you? 1 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out of them, out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serving the living and true God. You see, folks, recognition is the process of God, removing the old and replacing it with something new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What kind of letter have you been writing? Is it a business letter? Very impersonal? Is it a form letter? Is it fake? Include your name or some information about you, but it's not personal at all? Even though it attempts to look that way, what kind of letter do we write? Is it a personal letter? A letter that is written with feeling? What message are you sending? See, you are the only letter from God some people will ever read. We need to make that letter count, folks. How about the people you work with? What are they reading? Do you make a difference in their life? Do people come to you and say, will you pray for me? Your neighbors, do they like you? Does your family members like you? Are you writing a love letter? You see, are we letting that the message come through us as God intended, a love letter? Do people feel that you care about them? Do they feel that you're genuine? Do they think they like me? Or are you writing a Dear John letter? I'm not interested in you. Please don't bother me. Are you telling them I have better things in life than to be concerned about you? Does our life give a good representation of God's message? Here's a new life you can live. Do others see Jesus in you, or do they see you? What about the way you say things? How you talk to people? Is it something that you would you talk the same way if pastor was standing next to you? It's all a message, folks. The things we say, the things how we talk. Things we talk about. What about in the things that you do, places you hang out, the places that you go, the way you dress? See, folks, we need to be concerned about how we look. My wife makes fun of me because I iron my work clothes. But I'm representing things. And I always want to look good for her. I'm still dating her 32 years later. But when people see you, do they think that people at Church of Pentecost look nice? Do The things you do, the places you go. What are you writing? What about the places you go? Your family members know where you go and say, they say they're a Christian. What do your children say when they see you, hear you? Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16 says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. Why put salt on food if it doesn't change the flavor? God is saying here, if you don't make a difference in people's lives, then you're no good. Then he goes on to say here, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. God is telling you, let your light shine. Why? That they may see your good works. And those works glorify your Father which are in heaven. Acts 13:47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. You're a living letter. You're a living letter to what? To who? The lost, the dying world. Bring the hope of new life in Christ to the lost. See, so many people are done with this life. They're fed up. I'm tired of this constant headache. I'm tired of the constant turmoil and the trouble and all this. I'm tired of it. There's a new life. Really? Show me. Let them know that Jesus loves them. Jesus, let them know that He died for them. You see, Jesus wants them to be a part of His kingdom. Amen? Let's stand here tonight. Folks, there's plenty of scriptures that we read here tonight tell us to be that light, to be that salt, to make a difference. We are written epistles. Please be concerned of what people are reading in your life. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God. And I just pray, God, that we'll take this with us tonight. And God, that we'll apply this to our life. God, and I just ask you to just bless each one. And all those that, Lord, that will listen online or whatever, Lord, touch their hearts. And help us, God, to make a difference in the world that we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Encourage others, folks, to listen to this. Amen, that they'll be different. God bless you.